going. Hello there, Andy and Zach, A to Z No BS Show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. And you're in for a special one because today we have a very special guest, Dr. Killian Carlton, who is Nashville's premier strength and running expert.
Sure. Working my way there, right?
I like that.
PT, strength and running PT expert.
Well, listen, if you have doctor at the front of your title, I think we can put expert at the end.
That is fair. That is fair.
Yes. So specifically, I know Dr. Killian because I specifically reached out. You were one of the first people who I was like, hey, you know what you're doing when it comes to putting one foot in front of the other.
Please help
because I signed up for my first half marathon, which is coming up this weekend. So the timing is great. So with all that preamble out of the way, thank you so much for coming out on this a beautiful afternoon in East Nashville to hang out.
Thanks for having me.
Totally.
It is honestly the most perfect day that you could have, like, in general. Also a great day to run for anyone who's doing one of their last easy runs today. Easy runs. Keyword.
Easy.
Easy.
Yes.
Easy. Yeah, are you tapering yet?
I am tapering in the sense that I am I'm certainly not running anything long this week.
Yes.
Maybe a couple twos, threes.
That sounds about right.
But I put in over this past weekend like 10 to 17,000 step days.
Yeah.
So I've been putting some mileage on my feet.
Yeah.
You know. So
10-mile long run last Wednesday.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
So definitely less mileage this week leading up to the race to be fresh and ready to go.
Yeah. So before our episode devolves into a session all about me, which is honestly my favorite type of episode. Tell us more about yourself. Where do you hail from? And specifically, who is your target demographic in the sense that who are the people that you are most passionate about working with and your zone of expertise and that whole thing?
Okay. I am from Muskegon, Michigan. Pretty small town on west coast of Michigan. Live about 5 minutes from the lake when I was up there with my parents. Okay, on the hand, so you're going like right about mid-palm over here. So in between, like Holland is usually one that people are more familiar with. That's a little bit south of us. Grand Haven is, I think, slightly south of us. There's like a pretty big festival that people go to there every year. It's called the Coast Guard Festival. Honestly, can't get better beaches. Anyone who says that the ocean is the best thing ever has never been to Lake Michigan. Minus that the water is probably like 55 to 60 degrees all year round, but there's no sharks and it's beautiful.
I only just heard that there is surfing.
Yeah.
In the Great Lakes.
So you're probably going to get more like surfing type waves up in like Lake Superior. It's super cold there, but they tend to have a little bit crazier weather where you could get the bigger swells.
Okay.
Like, Lake Michigan, you're probably going to get like bodyboard surfing. I still see people out in Lake Michigan surfing, but not quite. It's not like Cali or like Florida surfing by any means.
Sure.
And you're usually in a wetsuit.
Yes, I would assume you would have to be, unless you're a super duper Wim Hof ice bath kind of guy.
Summer is like July, August is like pretty beautiful. You can get in the lake without freezing your butt off. But
yeah,
other months, starts to get pretty chilly.
No doubt.
Yeah. But I'm okay with that as long as I don't have to worry about getting eaten while I'm swimming.
Fair. Fair points.
So down here from Michigan, went to Michigan State for undergrad, came down here for grad school at TSU. Go Tigers. And then afterwards, I worked at an outpatient clinic in town for almost 2 years. And just decided I needed to have something a little bit more upbeat, and I missed working with athletes and growing up as an athlete my whole life. It's just a little bit more entertaining and fun to have someone that you're working with that's a little more high level. And so now I work primarily with runners. I would say I'm a big strength training. I push most of my runners to strength training, though they may not love that in the first place. I do have a few people who are like, oh yeah, no, I actually really like strength training. I just don't really know where to start. But most of my people are like, well, I'll do it if you think I need to.
Yeah.
If I could pick a person that I love to work with, it would be probably women anywhere from 25 to 40 who like to run, but also just want to be healthy for life. And I think that's really where strength training comes in, right? I mean, yes, it's great for running, for improving your performance in running, but there's a reason that 2 times a week strength training is a recommendation by multiple health agencies. And that should really be the base of what you're doing, not just for running performance, but improved life performance and longevity. So really try to push everyone towards enjoying strength training and making time for it during the week, because it's good for you. And it can be really fun if you learn to like it.
So where did running start for you?
I started running, I guess I've played basketball since I was, 4 or 5 years old. My dad's coached for 35 years maybe. And so I've always run, like in basketball practice, that kind of thing. But I started running with my mom when I was around 7 or 8. She was an all-state cross-country runner in high school.
Oh, wow.
And so I started with her, and we would just go, we had this loop that we would go in around our block, and it was a 1.5-mile loop. And we'd run that together, and then she'd drop me off back home, and she'd go for however else long she was going to go. And so I just started running with her like once or twice a week. That was kind of what we had in common, and we enjoyed running together, and just kind of grew from there. I did not run in high school because in Michigan, soccer and track are in the same season. And so I started playing soccer when I was, I think, 4th grade. I met a bunch of girls who are still my best friends, and they played soccer, I played basketball, and we kind of like crossed, and they ended up being soccer basketball players, and I ended up being a basketball soccer player. And so just kind of grew up together playing that, and then we'd like still like go and have fun and do like races on the weekend or something, just because I played outside mid, and that's all you do anyway is run. So kept running through high school, trained for a half marathon my 2nd year in college, I think when I was a sophomore. Did a really poor job of that, which is why I'm like so excited to help people do better than what I did before. Gosh, that was honestly not a great experience.
So what did you do suboptimally that we could learn from?
What
we could
learn from your mistakes. Suboptimally.
I was what did you do in college strength training wise that you're like, ugh?
So
I'm just saying, like, you said you were a 2nd year sophomore, right?
Yeah.
So as a sophomore, can you think of ways that you train that you're like, oh, I would not do that now? I'm just trying
yes.
to say, like,
well, when I was a sophomore in college, I wasn't training at all. So
I would say I trained really well in high school. Like I, and when I was younger too. So going back to when I was probably like 12, I had literally a training program with my dad every summer, and I did 3 days a week. I trained for basketball, so we did an hour of like shooting, dribbling drills, that kind of stuff every week. And then I had 2 days of conditioning. And the conditioning, like we had, my brother and I ran in the morning, and then we'd have like a strength training session in the afternoon, did like plyometric stuff. My dad was like very aware of all of the ACL tears that were going on in women and men's basketball. And so he just wanted to prepare me as best as he could to be injury-free, if you can ever be injury-free. But so that's kind of where I got my start strength training. It was really helpful because I grew up with someone who talked about being strong and resilient as opposed to like being skinny and things like that. And I think a lot of runners kind of think that you need to be skinny and have a runner's body to run, where no, you just have to be, you have to be strong and capable of running what you need to run, you know? And so that's where I started. High school, I got even more into strength training. I was in this wonderful strength and conditioning class where we lifted 3 to 4 days a week, conditioned 2 days a week, and like lifted heavy too, and that was the first time I've actually like truly lifted heavy and like felt like I was really capable of doing something that was more than just like lifting what, like a 40, maybe like a 40 pound kettlebell, which is what I would do with my dad. We were limited on our stuff that we could do at home too, so that was the my like first introduction into like, hey, let's like truly strength train and try to get you stronger, perform better for soccer and basketball. And then in college, I was a little bit more limited with the types of weights and access I had to gym. And so I still did very similar movements, but did not have access to like a bunch of barbells and extra weights and things like that. And so I would say it definitely was a disservice to myself with the training. But also I did what I could with what I had, which is what everyone should do. But I think I would probably have had less issues training for that half if I would have been able to like continue the heavy strength training that I was doing in high school. But other things that I had an issue with, fueling, that was terrible. I never brought anything with me on my long runs. No gels, nothing to drink. I was 19 years old and I was like, I'm in really good shape. I can just go run 10 miles whenever I want. And I did, but I didn't feel good afterwards. So that was another training error that I made. And then I would say I never did a truly poor job of ramping mileage or anything. The issue I had was Michigan State is historically an agricultural school. And so it's very flat, it's mostly farmland. And I did not check to see what the route was going to be like for my half marathon. And it was extremely hilly. And so I trained flat for 6 months and then got to the race and was like, oh, well, this could be an issue. And it was an issue. It was an issue. So it was really hilly. It was like 87 degrees, which is ungodly hot for Michigan in August. There are multiple people taken to the hospital for heat stroke.
You said 87?
Yeah. 87 blacktop. It was hot. It was hot. That's hot for Michigan. We have hot days.
Cool day,
but
Nashville.
Yeah, seriously though. Which is why I was so nervous about training for this. I was like, well, I'm going to train great because it's in January, February. That I'm training, it's gonna be nice and cool, but April here, you never know. It's either 50 or it's 90.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but yeah, those were just a few things that I did wrong in my first training block, if you can call it a training block.
Right. Well, that's how you learn. And I mean, I will admit, just a month or so ago, when I ran that 7.5, I didn't bring any water with me because I had the exact same attitude. Yeah. I was like, in and out, what, you know?
Maybe like a little over an hour.
A little over an hour, it'll be fine. So I ran probably 5 and I was kind of doing my own little route to where I came back to my car, got some water, and did the last 2 or 3. You know, I was like, man, what was I thinking?
Well, it's even worse here, too, because you don't have many cooler months.
Right.
So then you're sweating more, you're losing more electrolytes. And so if you're not bringing something with some electrolytes in it, you're like probably going to be crushed.
Right.
So
the big theme here being, I think, strength training supporting the running athlete.
Yeah.
So,
I say nutrition, but like water or Gatorade or whatever to like support those longer runs. I'm not a runner. I'm learning as we're talking about all this.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So maybe, and certainly Andy and I as strength coaches, we could make our own theses up on the spot about why lifting weights is important. For everybody, not just runners, but straight from the horse's mouth, what is like from your schooling and your expertise, what are some of the nerdy, maybe physiological things that strength training can do to help the runner, and maybe slash if this is even an appropriate question, like, what's your elevator pitch to runners who just don't want to lift?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question.
Please.
All right, to expand on that, so we're hitting you with some big questions. I want to nerd out about the physiology stuff because I have an ex-phys master's degree, so I want to talk about it. And then I'm genuinely curious, like, well, the three of us would all agree that strength training and running is complementary, it's important, whatever. He and I can talk all day long about strength training, and we have a lot of female clients that we work with, and we're like, you know, strength training is great, but I'm actually curious, going back, I'll use elevator pitch. What's your pitch working with women who maybe love running but are a little bit nervous about strength training? It's one thing to come from two men about strength training. It's another to come from a woman who enjoys strength training. Yeah. So I'm curious how you go about that conversation, kind of the ways that you like navigate that, and more, or maybe just like what it looks like and feels like, is we're not women. There are things that we don't have to deal with or think about or whatever. And so we can only help so far.
Yeah.
So I'm curious kind of how you navigate that conversation with a lot of the women that you work with.
Yeah. So not only am I a runner, but it also helps. My mom has run for, I don't even know, I think she said she started when she was running when she was 8. Through high school, she ran 10 miles, like almost every day, because she just wanted to be really good for cross country. And never really strength trained because they just didn't value that back then and didn't know the benefits. But I think it's honestly even more important for women than men, not only for runners, but in general, because we lose bone density quicker. We lose muscle mass quicker, especially as we age, men and women, but women even more so. And so, and there's now proof, there's scientific evidence that strength training can help reverse age-related bone loss and strength loss. And so I think it's extremely important for everyone, especially women, as we age. One, you are going to be less likely to fall, which is one of the highest leading causes of hospitalization in older people. I wish I could say that strength training leads to injury reduction, but there's a lot of evidence that says that it's probably not true. You just truly cannot prevent injury. Like, accidents just happen. But I will say, I believe it makes you a more resilient person, and it's easier to come back from something if you have a base build. And I think we can mostly agree with that. And so for women, I love mentioning the bone loss, and like, women just have such a higher risk of osteopenia, osteoporosis. And so that's my main goal, to talk to especially older women. Like, I now have my mom on a strength training routine. She doesn't love it because she just wants to go run, but she does it because she knows it's important. And I think she's getting to enjoy it more because she understands the importance, and it helps her do what she loves. So, like, why not, like, what helps you be better at what you like to do? And I think that's really what running does. Like, not only does it make you stronger, it makes you a more efficient runner. If you have better quad, glute, calf power, you're going to propel yourself forward easier with less energy. And so really, if there's one benefit for people, it's you're a more efficient runner, and that's like what most people care about truly, because they want to run and they want to run better. So that's my major pitch to people. And then I squeeze in the, hey, it's great for aging. Don't let yourself age without being strong. Like, muscle mass is lost so many times faster after the age of 30, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, okay, that's kind of cool, but it'll make me faster, right? And I'm like, yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah, give them the sugar. Give them the benefit.
Give them what they want.
Got
to give the people what they want.
And yeah, right off the bat.
And then a little extra that they don't realize they need / want.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, again, I mean, I think, like, my bonehead way of thinking about it is, if I'm a strong, competent deadlifter and squatter, that means that my hips are strong, my knees are strong, my quads are strong. Obviously, that doesn't exactly translate one-to-one when it comes to running, because we're talking about many multiple thousands of quote-unquote reps when you're talking about your stride versus, you know, reps in the gym. but at least there's some resilience and capacity and, I mean, built up there.
There's for sure some carryover. I mean, so one of the things I think people forget about is how important your calves are in running. Like, I would say that's the biggest thing I see with people is no one trains their calves. Like, how many times a week do you guys go do calf races?
Andy Van, we train our calves. Maybe not so much lately because I've been on my running kick. So I've actually stopped training my calves as much because I was afraid of overtraining my calves.
I haven't trained my calves in forever, and I feel like I should because I've been having this foot issue we talked about. Yeah. So I feel like, and like prep work, I've been doing a little bit of calf raises, and even just bodyweight calf raises, my calves are smoked.
Yeah.
Historically, we do get on that standing calf raise machine.
I believe you guys do. But you would be, no, seriously, you would be surprised how many people are like, oh my gosh, I should add calf raises to my strengthening routine. Of course. So like with running, your calves have to absorb and produce the most force out of other muscles in your body. Like it produces and absorbs up to 6 times your body weight each foot strike. And so, and that's more than your quads, it's more than your glutes. Quads and glutes play a major part, but your calves, no matter what type of foot striker you are, you need strong calves. And so deadlifts and squats, 100%. Those, the stronger you are, the more load your tissues, your joints, your ligaments, everything can tolerate, which is what running is, right? Like you can't do something if you cannot withstand the load that it places on your body. So the higher load capacity you have, the more likely you are to succeed at that activity.
So what you're saying is that could be a great run.
Yes. With proper build-up.
with actually running would be probably the key ingredient that I'm missing right now. But I need to start running first.
You do need to run to be a good runner, I will say that.
Yeah, all right. I'll start running maybe sometime
like
in the future.
To get the baby out of the crib and back.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm very quick to do that. If she's crying, I'm fast.
Great sprint mechanics.
Yeah, I'm very quick.
He's got the dad strength. He's got the dad speed.
Dad bod.
Dad bod and the dad brain. you've got the full package, Andy Van. Okay, so bonehead mistakes that I've made so far, or maybe even just mindsets. Let me start off with the most basic, obvious thing. I never realized how important running shoes are.
Yes.
Believe it or not, Zach Henderson has not bought a pair of running, he's bought one pair of running shoes, and that is the pair that I bought, like, when I started my training here, you know? So, because I've always been, like, a minimalist shoe guy.
Me too.
And, you know, and as we've talked a few times on the podcast, I read Born to Run, you know, I was first getting into fitness, got the toe shoes, did like the barefoot thing out in the grass. And I still think there's...
My uncle went through that phase too.
I still think there's something maybe to that, right? I think just having that perspective for like freeing the foot, freeing the toes, all that stuff. But I obviously came from a limited perspective because I had never actually run for more than a couple miles.
Yeah.
And I have actually been flabbergasted at just how good my knees have felt with all this running that I've been doing in my, what do I have? New Balance, something or another, but it's so springy. It almost feels like it runs for me, you know, which is pretty wild. But, you know, occasionally before that, you know, I would do a little jog, a little warm up, you know, and maybe my Nobles, something like that, and I would almost always have some little knee tweak of some kind. I also have very flat feet. I have a square footprint when I get out of the pool. But that's like the first thing that I wanted to bring up, like a damaging admission. I never realized that, like, oh, like running shoes are not like
just a gimmick.
A gimmick. Like you really need them if you're gonna do some serious running.
Right.
It's definitely important for foot health. I will say that I think people put too much stock into the type of running shoe they get, and I think they're very confused on how to pick a shoe, whereas like pick something that's comfortable, go run in them and test them out while you're at the store. If it's not comfortable when you're running, you shouldn't be buying them. Pick something that is not going to pinch your forefoot. If you don't have enough room in the toe box, you're just going to be blistering on either side or smashing your toes against each other. So honestly, the thing that I tell people most, like, if your shoe is comfortable and you feel comfortable running in it, then it's a good shoe. You don't have to have like some crazy, like, what's the new shoe? Gosh, I think it's like the Nike Vaporfly or something like that.
Vaporfly. Yeah. That sounds...
So like, my foot just doesn't do well in Nikes.
Amazing.
And so like, I'm not going to go buy this like new trendy shoe because it's not right for my foot, but it might be right for your foot. So everyone's different. Shoes are definitely a part of the running game, but
so
not the entire part.
The gear doesn't make the athlete.
Definitely not.
Damn.
But it makes you look really cool.
Well, so I just want to look cool. What if I just want to look fast?
Oh, then you can go buy the Nike Vaporfly.
Okay,
for sure.
I'm going to get the Nike Vaporfly.
For sure.
I'm just going to look fast. People are going to be like, he must be a runner. I'm be like, nah.
I just walk in these.
I get my steps down.
Dude, you grow out a little mustache, you could have a little Prefontaine look going on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my first kind of big, like, kind of bonehead revelation. Here's my second one. Understanding what running easy means and actually doing it.
You and I chatted about that the first time we ran together.
Yes.
I was like, damn, that was like kind of a fast pace. That was like really good. And you're like, oh gosh, I was trying to keep up with you. And I was like, no, I was trying to keep up with you. Yes, running easy. And I'm trying to still talk my husband into this. Running easy is so important. So I talk to most of my clients based on the RPE scale, which you guys probably use often. And so my thing with people is you should be running easy 70 to 80% of the time. So like how you guys and I are talking right now, we should be able to do that while we're running. That's like an RPE of 3. Nice conversational pace. We're still getting our heart rate up a little bit, but you're not sucking wind and having to take breaths every 4 words. And so I don't think people do that enough, and I don't think they understand how easy should be. My husband is running the half this weekend, and I think his goal pace is like an 8:20 per mile or something like that. Yeah, I know. It's really annoying. Like, we started running when we started dating. I was way better than him. I got hurt. Now he kicks my ass all the time. Sorry if I just sworn, I'm not allowed to.
Oh, you're fine.
Okay, good.
You're fine.
I've been good this episode so far.
It's because I'm holding the mic.
I know.
So he went for his like last longish run this last weekend. He went for a 60-minute easy run and came back and he said, you'd be so proud of me. I ran so easy. And I asked him how his pace was. And he's like, I ran an 8:40. I was like, that is not an easy pace. So like pace-wise, like if you're aiming for an 8:20 pace, you should be running about a minute slower on your easy runs. Obviously, it's going to be different for everybody, but I was like, so if I was out there, could you have talked to me in sentences the entire time you're in? He said, well, I could have talked to myself the whole time. I said, that is not the same thing.
Thank you.
Nice.
So yes, running easy is extremely important. It's all about recovery, right? If you are training for 12 to 16 weeks and you can't recover in between runs or strength training sessions, what's the point? You're not going to make it to race day.
I figured it out. My runs, my easy runs, when I could only do like 3, 3.5, 4 miles, was like a 7:30 pace. That's why I could never go past that.
That makes sense.
You're blowing my mind
also,
right now.
Also, that's your easy pace?
Dang. Yeah, this is like in college. Dang. So like, and I was a sprint athlete. I played lacrosse, but point being, I thought that was slow. I thought 7:30 was slow, and so I was like, but I could never really like 3 to 4 miles was like always my limit, and beyond that I was like, I just always hit this wall. So what you're saying is,
you're run, saying there's a chance.
You run slower.
I should sign up real quick for this marathon this week.
I mean, maybe.
4 days is plenty of time to train.
Yeah, with this busted foot that I've had, I should definitely do that.
It's gonna be great.
I think I'm gonna drink beer with Jesse and cheer you on. I think that's what I'm gonna do.
I'll take that too.
That's what I'm going to do too, because I'm not running now, so I'm going to drink beer and cheer for everybody else.
See,
gluten-free beer, unfortunately, so it's not as good.
This is way more fun. you're on the side that sounds like not fun. We're all going to hang out and drink beer while you're miserable.
And clap and say, great job.
Yeah, good job, Zach.
Well, maybe I'll stop off and refuel with
East Nasty with Tent a quick at Mile 9 has some drinks for people, I believe.
Is that a fact? Uh-huh. Okay, right on, right on.
So I haven't talked to Jesse about day of, like if we're doing it. Like Saturday night we have plans, but like daytime, I don't know. Is he like cheering you on?
I don't know. I am very much a fly by the seat of my pants kind of guy. So I barely make plans the day that I'm actually supposed to do something.
I live
so,
with one of those.
Listen, Jesse's going to make sure I get to the starting line.
And
after
that, finish, and that you're going to get to the finish line.
And that I get to the finish line. That's all I need to worry about.
You know what we could do? We could pre-fuel at Dino's with beer and burgers at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I would not recommend the 2 o'clock in the morning part. Maybe like lunch the day before.
So
I'm not going to mess with you. Next time.
Small side tangent. I've worked with a guy named Tom for many years. He's in his mid-60s. He is a big marathoner, like New York marathoner from like back in the day, like the 80s. And he would just always regale me with the tales of back in the day before people actually exercised or cross-trained, he would be like, yeah, we would go out all night drinking. We would wake up in the morning, we would have pancakes and cigarettes.
Oh, good.
And that's how we ran like our first like 4 or 5 marathons. Granted,
well, carbs are good.
Carbs are good.
I feel like the nicotine is probably not good.
Probably not.
Yeah. So I don't think the Dino's burger at 2 a.m. is much better.
Next time.
That'd be a nice, like, what, 5 hours of sleep? It's fine.
Yeah. I would be willing. So listen, this first race is my baseline. Let's get my baseline, and then I'm willing to maybe not beat my time, but maybe match my time under less optimal circumstances. That could be.
That's training right there. That's training.
That's living a debaucherous lifestyle is what that is. So running easy. So this whole idea that like there are gears, and that's been the coolest thing that I've found over this training process is it's not just running. You actually have an RPE 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 that can be tricky to find, can be tricky to, you know, lock into. So for me, it's still very fuzzy, but I think I've gone from having one gear to maybe like 2.5. In my mind.
Can I ask a physiology question?
Yes.
Is an RPE 7 or 8 kind of like lactate threshold kind of work?
I think around there, yes. So like an RPE of 7 is going to be like a tempo run. So yeah, I would say around a 7 or 8 would be.
That's all I wanted. I'm just just thinking about my own physiology experience. Lactate threshold kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You want to be at the RPE, for an easy run, be RPE, you said 3.
Like 3, 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm like, an RPE of 5 would be like that crossover between aerobic and anaerobic resources.
Mm. Well, I don't even, so you have to think like anaerobic resources are going to be less time length, right?
Right.
So it's going to be like.
More like short distance.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what was always my problem, aside from the faster tempo, was that I was probably running at like an RPE 7 or 8, which is just hard to sustain for longer than
100%.
Yeah.
Unless you're extremely trained, like all the Boston Marathons today. Yeah.
Could you imagine holding a 7:30 pace for 2.5 hours or whatever
it
is?
That makes me feel ill to think about it. the one person today was the woman who won, I believe, ran like a 5-minute mile for her last mile.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Ooh, that's gnarly. Yeah.
Do you know who broke the 4-minute mile, Zach? The first time. And when?
Bannister?
Roger Bannister in like 1960 something.
Hey, good trivia, guys.
That was good trivia. I was for sure thinking you would never guess that. Did we talk about this the other day?
No, we have never talked about this.
We've never talked about Roger Bannister?
I feel like Roger Bannister is kind of a well-known name.
No, we did name. Talk about this. When we were working out like a week and a half ago, I think we brought this up. Otherwise, who would I talk to about Roger Bannister?
Actually, I think you did. I know of Roger Bannister, A, because I feel like it's pretty common knowledge that he broke the four-minute mile.
I honestly don't know if I could have told you that off the top of my head.
But I also grew up on Bannister Road. Oh. So that's why the name has always stuck.
Okay. I had known it, but I forgot it and had to look it up the other day.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're off track. But.
Only slightly. So easy running has been great. Because I tell you, the first time... And I think I've related this story.
I kind of wish that you would have found the easy running when we went for a run, because I was like dying at the 9-minute mile pace.
He was just trying to show off.
Was that 9-minute mile?
I was like 9 for 3.5.
Interesting.
Half, I think.
Okay. And
that feels so slow to me. I feel like that's not a run. That's like a jog.
I bet if you went out now after not running for a while, you would think 9-minute miles for 4 miles was rough.
Oh, I'd probably vomit. I've never vomited working out.
But no, I totally agree with that, because before I got injured a couple years ago, I was running like a 7:15 pace. But I also was not running easy nearly enough. I was the type of person who I was like, well, if I'm not like tired after the run, did I get a good workout in?
Right, yeah.
Yes, you did. Stop worrying about being tired. And it's the same thing with lifting, right? Like, you don't need to be sore after every workout to get a good workout in.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us about this injury, because you mentioned it a couple
which
times.
Which one?
Ooh.
The most recent one?
All right. Sure.
So I've had two within the past 2 years. The first one was a back injury in 2021, I believe. And I was unfortunately at a PT class, and I was taking some continuing education. And another person was trying a specific maneuver on me and did not do it correctly and herniated one of my lumbar discs.
Oh, shit.
And so I actually dealt with a lot of pain from that for over a year. I was seeing a PT who was helping me quite a bit, but it got to the point where they had asked me to stop running and stop lifting, and I was not really seeing any change when that happened. And so then I just kind of took over my own rehab and started lifting, like literally like body weight exercise was what I could tolerate at the time. And starting to do like a run walk program, got myself back to running like a few miles at a time, lifting like literally the bar, maybe 10 pounds on each side of the bar. And then kind of just worked my way back from there. And honestly, lifting and just moving was the best thing I could have done for myself. I was just so afraid to do it for so long with how much pain I was having. And unfortunately, it wasn't even just like low back pain. It was like down my leg all the way to my ankle pain. And so it was just very concerning to me, never having dealt with that type of injury before. Like, I've had sprained ankles, I've broken bones. And it's just not the same thing when you deal with such severe pain for so long. Like, chronic pain is just a beast. And the only good thing was that now I know how a lot of my clients feel when they come in the door. I figured out that I could navigate myself out of it, and so now I feel confident navigating other people out of it. So, silver lining and a long line of recovery on that one. This most recent injury was my lower leg. I'm still not 100% sure on diagnosis because I'm waiting on an MRI this coming Friday. But I think it's somewhere along the lines of medial tibial stress syndrome and with some possible bone involvement. So that'd be like a low grade stress reaction in my tibia and my lower leg. Hmm. I think a lot of things went into it. One was some, I guess I would kind of see some overtraining. The training plan that I was on was pretty good mileage-wise. Like, we were building up nice and steady. But we did go from running, we did a 9-mile long run the weekend before. the weekend that I started to feel my pain, we did a 10-mile long run in Percy Warner. So mileage increased well, but we also increased crazy elevation. So I think it was the combination of the two, plus some diet issues that I've been having. I think I'm working with a dietitian now, just finding out that I wasn't absorbing the nutrients that I was getting as well as I should have been. So I felt like I was eating really well, which I was, but I just wasn't taking all the nutrients in that I needed to. And so I think that was part of it. My training was part of it. And then just the stress of owning your own business, which you guys totally understand. And it just, obviously with injury, it's so complex. Everything compounds. And most of the time it's like the perfect storm with people. Like you could train, you could strength train all you want. Like I think I was still lifting 3 to 4 days a week. And so it was kind of a blow because I was like, I'm doing everything I should be doing. And this still happens. And it just goes to show you like, injury can happen to anyone. If injury is preventable, professionals wouldn't be injured, you know?
Well, hey, you're talking to the broken boys, so we get it.
That sounds like a good rap album. With a Z for boys.
Whoa.
Listen, where this podcast is going, it could be the move.
When our OnlyFans doesn't pan out.
We could get that record deal.
Oh, man. All right. Well, so how long have you been dealing with the injury, the most recent one?
This most recent one, I think mid-March. So I think I got to look at my – let's look at the calendar.
About a month, right?
Around a month. So I ran my last long run March 11th, and then I raced on the 18th. Raced really well. I think I PR'd my 10K time, but I just like didn't feel right the whole time. Didn't have pain, but just felt like my calf was just not functioning how it should function. I was just very fatigued. And then probably like 3 to 4 hours after the race is when I started to have some pain in my leg. And then had some night pain for a couple weeks. That's gone now, which is good. So I know I'm on the mend. It'll just be, once I get this MRI back, looking to see, do I have any type of grade of stress reaction? So like with stress fractures, we go, I'm trying to remember, I think it's grade 1 and 2, 3 are stress reactions. And it's just the severity. Once you get to grade 4, that's a stress fracture. And so I think I was very low grade in general. I wasn't having a ton of pain while I was doing things. It was just afterwards and at night. So I think I'll be very low end of grade 1 maybe, if anything, now since I've had to wait so long to get in for the MRI. And then I just have to start building strength back up and then get back to like a run walk program to get back to running full time.
So during this period of time, how have you modified your training around this injury so that you can maintain some, I'm just gonna put air quotes, fitness?
Yeah.
And to, you know, sort of extrapolate out of that, what are the most common injuries that you see with the people that you work with, and maybe the underlying, and that might be like a general or too general question, like the underlying reasons why you typically see these
common injuries?
Right.
Yeah. So for my training recently, I've been doing a lot of walks with my dog. So walking and not doing anything that's going to be like a single leg activity that's going to put as much force through my leg as running does. So a lot of walks. I've done a couple of like rowing, bike things. I just don't love cross training. I truly like to run, which is why I do it. But like if people are trying to keep their fitness up and that kind of thing, like biking, swimming, rowing, any of that type of stuff where you're getting your heart rate up is always a good thing to do. I'm just not training for anything else right now, so I didn't find the need to like really keep my fitness top notch right now. And then you have to, with bone is a thing you really have to be careful with, because obviously anything low grade can turn into a fracture if you don't treat it correctly. Whereas with tendon things, like I'm not quite as worried about people with tendon issues. You're gonna have flare ups and things like that, but as long as you're being fairly smart with things, you're not going to like rupture a tendon type thing. Those things are honestly usually just like freak accidents where you like step wrong and you like see someone tear their Achilles or something, you know, like. So I've been doing recently some body weight exercise stuff because I honestly could not tolerate increased weight. Like I think I was squatting around like 110 before I got injured, and this is coming back from that back injury. So I still wasn't back to my normal squat or deadlift weight. But I was feeling pretty good at what I was doing. But a couple days after I raced, I tried to do like a heavy squat leg day, and I just couldn't tolerate it with my lower leg. So I've been doing some body weight stuff. I added like a 20 pound kettlebell this last week, which feels like crazy light for everything else, but my lower leg was like crushed the next day. So I think you just really have to find like where you're at in that time, meet yourself there, and then you just, like you guys do in strength training, you gradually overload it so you don't overdo things and make your injury worse.
Tissue tolerance, man.
Yeah. And I would say that is perfect segue, because that's what I see is the most common issue with the injuries that pop up in my patients. 90% of the runners I see are not strength training or have not strength trained. And so now they're starting a half marathon training program or some type of, so I have a marathon runner right now who started, and they are so gung-ho about the running aspect that they forget that you need a base of some sort. And so I would say most injuries that I see are, I guess people would call them overuse, but I call it a load intolerance injury. And so running is always a single leg activity. You are never in double limb support like you are when walking. So you need to be really strong in your legs, lower part of your body, in order to take all of the force that you're putting through your legs. Some people don't strength train and they're okay, but I will say that they probably have gradually increased up to the amount of distance they're running and the amount of times that they're running per week and the amount of time that they put on their feet overall. Whereas some of these people who are jumping into like a couch to marathon program are not thinking about that. And so I would say a lot of the things that I see are tendon issues, because that's one of the things that takes the brunt of the force that your body's trying to put through when you're running. So I see a lot of Achilles tendon issues, a lot of patella tendon issues. I've seen a couple of glute tendon issues. That's not quite as common. And then I have a few people right now, some generalized knee pain, so like some patellofemoral pain syndrome stuff, type stuff. And I've actually seen quite a few like IT band things recently. And shin splints is also another one I see. And those are all like, one, you're either not building up your mileage well enough to where your body can tolerate it, or your bones, tendons, any type of other tissue just doesn't have a good enough load capacity to tolerate what you're trying to make it do.
Interesting. Have you run into any of these issues in your training?
I have not, at least not to my knowledge.
Whoop, whoop.
So you tried being strong and then you were strong.
You know, I actually have that on a sticker on the back of my laptop.
That's true. I forget about that.
So sometimes I'm like, what should I be doing? And then I look at the other side of my laptop and it says, have you tried being strong? And
like, oh,
that
crap,
jogs
that's what
my...
I should be doing.
Pun intended, that jogs my memory.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I should try being strong. So far it's worked.
Okay.
I like that.
All that being said, we know that I shattered my leg a couple years ago.
Right.
So that's been a little bit of a wild issue on
bring it up all the time.
It's basically my person.
He just loves the attention.
It's basically my personality trait at this time,
yeah,
at this point. So I've been dealing that with my right ankle, and my left ankle I popped in jiu-jitsu a couple times. So all that to say, non-running related injuries that I've,
yeah,
you know,
counts,
that has, you
just
know,
pop up.
You know, demanded my attention. But yeah, I mean, all that to say, like we were talking about off air, I've actually been surprised at how well my ankles have held up.
Yeah.
Because honestly, before 4 weeks ago, I don't think I had ever run, you know, more than 4 or 5 miles at a clip.
Yeah.
Done, you know, Spartan races that are very, very long, but that's a lot of walking, that's a lot of stopping, that's like an all-day affair. When we're talking about like running or jogging, here's another maybe bonehead question. Jogging or yogging, as they say
with
a soft J. What's the difference between jogging and running?
I would say jogging is like our more conversational pace type thing, and running is like you're putting some effort into it.
Okay.
But I honestly don't think some people differentiate between it.
Yeah. Well, I would say I've gone out for more jogs than I've gone out for runs, maybe in that case.
Yeah. I would say, like, honestly, though, like, if you're moving both of your feet forward and you are not in double limb stance at any time, you're single leg, foot in front of the other, you're running. It doesn't matter if you're jogging or running slow. Like, if you go out for a run, you're a runner.
I'm glad you ended that sentence that way. Do you think that everyone ought to be or could be? I'm choosing my words carefully. Ought to be or could be a great runner or a good runner?
Most people could be good runners if they wanted to be.
Okay.
But I don't think everybody should run. If you truly don't like running, like, you don't need to go out and go for a 9-mile run. You just don't need to do that. You need to get in some sort of cardiovascular activity for the week that is going to be around the guidelines that they give us. Like, gosh, what is it? Like 75 to 150 minutes of vigorous activity, 150 minutes to 300 minutes of moderate.
Yeah.
So like if you're biking, if you're going for like a power walk, if you're rowing, like I really don't care what it is, as long as you're getting your heart rate up and keeping yourself healthy. But if you truly like running, I think most people could be pretty good runners if they wanted to. I don't think people are going to be elite runners, no. One, I don't think most people have the time to train for that kind of thing, and honestly, some people just aren't built for it. I'm never going to be an elite runner. I'm 5'2", and I don't have the time to train like that, and honestly, I don't care if I'm ever an elite runner. But I think most people could run well. And I think honestly the biggest part is like if you enjoy it, go do it.
So what you're saying is as a 35-year-old man who hasn't run in like 10 years, there's a chance I could be elite. All right,
what is it? Is it like 1 in a million? Is that what the quote is?
The Dumb and Dumber quote?
Yeah.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Saying there's a chance. All right. So just as a genuine question, we might be running out of time. Whatever. I'm curious. What do you think of those ultra marathoners? Are they like?
I think they're like slightly crazy, but like a good crazy, and it's super impressive.
Like going for a casual like 80
yeah,
mile.
Yeah, I know.
Run.
It's like no big deal, just 100K, whatever.
Yeah, and you're like what? Like how are you doing this?
I think you have to be like honestly though, I think you have to be like kind of slightly crazy to do a half marathon or a marathon, right? I mean, like who thinks like I'm gonna go out and run 26 miles today? Most people don't think that.
Yeah.
But I think it's extremely impressive, and I think those people are like pretty badass, especially since most of those are trail. Like that's so much harder than road running to me. It just like gets in a whole another aspect of strength. Like you need to strength train if you trail run, especially ultra.
God. Yeah, ultra is nuts.
Yeah, but some of those people are just like amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess really when it comes down to it, I'm just amazed at the joint integrity. Like how do your feet, knees, ankles, back for that matter, withstand that mileage?
Well, you gotta think,
mileage.
Like, once you're doing that mileage, like, you're going to hurt a little bit, right? I mean, like, there's just no, like, going through an ultra marathon, running, like, 100 miles or whatever it is, and you, like, get done, and you're like, no, I feel great. I could go run another 10 miles. Like, I don't think most people feel that. If they do, like, please tell me, like, what you're doing, because I want to know.
Well, they're...
we need to do, like, some biopsy tests.
Yeah.
Well, they're taking, you know...
But I think like
I can see
things...
doing like a line, you know. And, ooh, there's an extra 3 miles. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, maybe. But I think those people are just doing like they're building up to the mileage they want to get to in a way that is tolerable for their joints. And I would hope most of those people are strength training, because that's really the only way you strengthen bone and make sure you're not injuring yourself, especially with the amount of mileage and repetitive force you're putting through your legs with that kind of mileage.
Right.
I don't know if I've met a ultra person who doesn't do some sort of strength training.
Sure. Well, to bring it back down to my level.
Yeah, are you ready?
I feel confident.
Okay.
I feel confident.
And you're just trying.
I think you got this.
You're not trying to like win.
No.
You just want to finish.
No. Winning would be surviving.
Would it be a failure? Would you be mad if I saw you walking at some point during this half marathon and I was like, Zach, pick it up?
No, I wouldn't be mad. Okay. I wouldn't be embarrassed. I wouldn't be ashamed.
I think you'd be surprised how many people end up having to walk for like a little bit, especially if you get a day that's like really warm compared to what you've been training in, because it's so different training in like up until I got hurt. Only one run that I went on was above like 35 degrees, one of my long runs. So, like, think about going from 35 degrees. Like, once you're running, your body warms up, maybe you're at like 55 degree temp, you know? Imagine going from 35 degrees to like a 70 degree run in April. That's a really big difference. So your body, one, hasn't acclimated to that. Then you're sweating a little more, not replacing electrolytes as well. So I think you'd be surprised how many people need to like stop and walk it for a second, especially like maybe around those like drink tents, you know, get a little Gatorade in you, then head back off.
All right, so maybe we can wrap up on this. For those that are running the marathon or half marathon this weekend, what are your prep strategies pre and during the race? Because as far as I know, I think it's supposed to be cooler this Saturday.
Yeah, it looks a little bit cooler.
Right,
yeah.
Like in the low 50s or something like that?
I think we're up to 60s now.
Up to 60s. So as far as training is concerned, you haven't done this before. I mean, you haven't run.
I have no expectations. Okay. That's another thing that's like fun, is because if I knew exactly what to expect, it wouldn't be as fun.
Yeah.
For example, I haven't looked at the course. I don't know if that's...
I didn't do that my last time either.
I mean, I don't know if that's like...
I did a poor job of prepping, but...
Common or not. So like, I don't know where I'm going.
All right, so in a week
I don't know where
today,
I'm running.
In a week
but
from
yeah.
today, we can talk about your performance or lack thereof.
Well,
All right.
If you run in East Nashville and you're not just running on the Greenway the whole time, like, you're going to get some great hills in and you're going to be prepared for
Have
the
Have you been
run
running in East Nashville not on the Greenways?
So we were actually talking about this. I've been running a lot in Percy Warner.
Yeah.
So
you should be okay.
Like majorly
I think
prepared.
So. I think so.
Okay.
I hope so.
All right. So day before, day of, I want to know, like, what's your prep strategy?
Yeah. So I would say, like, honestly, the week leading up, like, a lot of carbs. Really great sleep.
Bro, let me buy you another beer.
Okay.
Here's like the weird like Venn diagram. More carbs, more beers, yes. Quality of sleep, it starts drifting in the other direction. You know what I mean? So it's like, where's the sweet spot there?
Yeah.
I think pizza.
I think that's very common.
You can eat pizza.
Well, that's still on the carb side, but the quality of sleep doesn't improve with the pizza.
I'll make my bolognese.
Does that put you to bed?
Yes.
Have you had my bolognese?
I have not had your bolognese, but...
I've been meaning to teach you to make my bolognese.
But it would be probably better on my digestive system than pizza and beer.
Probably.
I don't know.
Plus, you get the noodles, which are more carbs.
Yeah.
Carbs and protein, always great.
All right. I'm sorry to sidetrack. And you're not running the race on Saturday, but like, how are you going to fuel for runs now that you don't eat gluten?
I know. That's actually really hard. So my usual before a long run is a piece of toast with like a tiny bit of peanut butter, because you don't want to go too much protein before you run, and then a lot of jam plus a banana. That's like my go-to like 2 hours before, and then my favorite thing, which I'm really upset about right now, is an hour before I eat a graham cracker. It's like my jam. And then I bring, if it's a long run, I bring my gels that I use, and I always have Gatorade. I've tried to do just water on the runs, but here it gets too hot and I just like feel like garbage if I don't have something with some electrolytes in it. So that's my usual. Now that I'm gluten-free, and I'm hopefully not going to be gluten-free forever. I'm hoping this is a very short amount of time. But there is gluten-free bread. I have not tried any that I've liked so far.
Is it like Ezekiel bread or whatever?
I like don't even know how to describe it. So apparently there's one that's fairly good, but it's always sold out in the store because it's the only one that doesn't suck.
No.
And so the one that I have right now, it's like white bread, but super thick and like really like, it's like sticky. I don't even know. It's weird. And I like hated it so much. I like choked it down one time. So now I really don't know because now I can't have my graham cracker that I love to do. So I'm going to have to rethink some things. But for anyone else listening, carbs, a lot of carbs. Don't worry about sugar. Like that's what your muscles need to run. So I know some people that'll like eat a Pop-Tart before they go. Obviously, that's not gluten-free either, so that sucks for me, but everyone else it's great for.
My Pop-Tarts. Yeah, so what's your plan this week? How are you approaching your... Are you taking it seriously?
He's eating Dino's and getting beer at 2 a.m. the night before.
Friday night. Saturday morning.
Could be the move.
Could be the move. Someone will be asleep. I can come out.
It is a lot of carbs. I'm not going to lie.
Like I said...
I don't recommend it.
Like I said, I have no expectations. But, I mean, I guess I felt lucky. Like, my energy has felt pretty good, very sustainable. I mean, we've talked about our diets ad nauseum on the show, but...
Mostly beer and pizza.
Mostly beer. No. No, I eat a lot of fruit, a lot of oatmeal, a lot of rice. That's kind of my 1-2-3 carb pretty much every single day. Yeah. I've actually been recently using a water filter that I then add electrolytes back into, that I feel has like really helped.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great strategy. I have eaten the sport beans. On my long runs, and just
it's like a jelly bean.
Yeah,
like,
jelly bean. So like honestly, two or three of those feels a-okay.
Yeah.
At a time, or you know maybe like one per mile. I don't. Again, we could get really scientific with this, but again, I'm not setting a great example because I'm almost half of this is like the entertainment value of just like just going in as. Not necessarily cold and blind, but I don't like to over prepare. You know what I mean? That's just kind of my own like little quirk.
I'm the opposite. I'm like so type A that I'm like, okay, what am I gonna eat before the race? Okay, this is what I'm eating before the race. That worked out well. I like set out my clothes the night before. I set out my I don't set out the Gatorade because obviously that'd be warm, but you know what I'm saying. So I'm an over preparer.
Sure.
My husband is the opposite. He's like, I don't know what I'm going to eat the day of. I mean, who knows?
Fortune favors the prepared.
Sure. Well,
apparently not. I'm injured over here.
Well, that and then, Art's going to be like, oh, I don't know. I'm going to do whatever. And then he's probably going to do great.
Kick
and
you're ass. Like, this I know. Guy.
Some of this maybe also comes from, like, those old Spartan race training days where, like, the whole point was, like, kind of, like, be prepared for anything.
Yep.
And it was more mental. I mean, you gotta be in phenomenal shape. So it's like, okay, if I work like a dog in my training, I'm confident in my body, I'm confident in my mind,
for sure.
And then I'm just gonna go hot dog it.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a little bit of that attitude that I'm bringing to it, but yes, good sleep, fueling up on carbs, mileage or running wise, do you like a little bit every day? Do you like...
No, I like usually try to keep people on a similar schedule they've been on. So like if you're running 3 to 4 days a week, I keep you similar, but we go less the week of. So like, and honestly, I taper people 2 weeks before. So like long runs get shorter. Everything gets, your easy runs stay easy. You can keep like some speed work if you want to. It's really like person dependent, especially like since I work with a lot of people who are going through injury and trying to get like run through that. But usually I'm a 2 week out taper person. You're usually cutting your mileage by like 40 to 60% within those 2 weeks. And then like maybe two runs this week. Some people really like to do like a third, like super short one, just like a shakeout sort of things, like running a mile like the day before, just like get your nerves out. Some people don't do well with a taper. Me, I'm like, give me the freaking taper all training period long. Like I will run less miles as long as you want me to. But some people are like, no, I'm super antsy. Like I can't wait to go run. So it really depends on the person. So like with those kind of people, like I'll keep them like the 2 to 3 times a week. But on the third, I'm like, hey, this is like your shakeout run. Like go for a mile and just chill and like get your nerves out. And then fuel during before you think you need to fuel. Like don't wait until the last minute. You're like, holy crap, I feel like garbage. I need to eat a like little jelly bean. Eat it before you need it.
Right. Right.
Be sucking down those jelly beans, bro.
I plan on it.
How many jelly beans are you bringing with you?
I still have one full bag, which I think has.
All I can think of is you eating 15
jelly beans.
Harry Potter, like Birdie Bots, every flavored beans. Like as you're like going, you're like, oh, popcorn flavor. Oh, like earwax. That's what
I think of. I remember that. Oh my god, that was a thing.
That
I don't
was
like
a thing.
Jelly beans.
Yeah.
I'm not a fruity candy person.
I'm not either. The fruity 2D one was pretty good though. But then like you'd get the ones that looked like something, like, oh, that one's popcorn, and then like, just kidding, that's earwax. And you're like,
that was
unfortunate. That would be really terrible during a half marathon, wouldn't it?
Could you imagine being the person that like taste tests that stuff?
No. Like, I mean, I would do it for sure, because they'd pay you for it. But.
Well, right, but like still.
It'd be cooler if it was like pizza.
Yeah, but yeah. They're not all pizza.
That's true. That's very true.
Well, in true runner's fashion, we've covered a lot of ground.
Oh, buddy.
Doo-doom.
How long did he practice that one?
He's so good at this. Do you think about these before you say them, or are you just like that creative?
I thought about it about 9 seconds before I spoke.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. That's pretty solid.
You know? Yeah. I mean, going back to like jumping in without being too prepared, this podcast is another good example of that. You know what I mean? Like, Andy, like, we sit down more than half the time, and
just kind of shoot
we've got a premise on the spot, and
we drink beer and then hit record.
An hour later, we've got something in the can.
Yeah, this is a good one, actually. This is a really good one.
I agree. So
I enjoyed this.
I think a few months ago, I definitely would have been that stereotypical person, the meathead, who would say, I'll lift weights all day, but every step of running would be torturous.
See, I'm still that person.
You're still that person. And I think, just to harp it back to emphasizing the easy run, I have found that getting that runner's high is actually something that is doable, whereas before, I think I just exhausted myself before I could get into that zone.
Sure.
So there's something like really special these last few runs where it's like, I can just take it a mile at a time, you know? And like mentally, that was like something that was not anxiety producing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can go from 3 to 4,
yep.
4 to 5, 5 to 6. And it wasn't this big like cloud over my head thinking like, I've got to do 10 miles. This is going to be insane. It's just like 1 mile at a time. We're going nice and easy. I can still breathe. I can still put 1 foot in front of the other. Some miles are going to feel better than the others. But, you know, in the same way that, like, when we're in the weight room, it's just like, okay, we just focus on this set or even this rep. You know, even if it sucks, we can grind through this set.
Yeah.
I'm kind of finding that same attitude with the mileage.
For sure. And, I mean, like, running is like any other performance thing. Like, lifting, like, if you like to swim, if you like to row, like, people who like to challenge themselves will challenge themselves in different ways, and that's awesome. Like, I enjoy running more than I enjoy other things, like cardiovascular-wise, but that doesn't mean other people have to. But especially with, like, running, like, you get to be outside, you get to experience nature. Like, honestly, before I even started training for this, my husband and I go for a run every Saturday with our two dogs, and we'll go, like, 3 miles, and, like, I start out 5 minutes before him. My older dog doesn't like to go run, so like I have to go first because he likes to chase me, and he's like, oh, I get to catch mom. And so like it's just like a nice Saturday morning thing. We go get coffee afterwards, and it's nice to be outside. It's nice to get some exercise in. You don't have to be fast all the time. Like if I had to be fast all the time, I'd hate running, so I'm not fast. And it's just, it can be an enjoyable time out in nature. You can run, walk it. Like people who run, walk, like that doesn't make you less of a runner. It just means that like, you need like a little break for a second. Like, so I think running is so great because there's such a low barrier of access. Like all you need is a pair of shoes, and you don't even need a great pair of shoes. Like I would highly recommend you have a decent pair so your feet don't hurt, but you don't need a ton of equipment like you do in other sports. And it's super easy to go out, go for a jog. You don't have to do something that's going to make you feel like your heart's going to explode from your chest. But it's just, it's nice to be outside. You can go for a run at Percy Warner and run, walk it. It's beautiful up there. I mean, it doesn't even have to be about the run. Like, get out in nature, do something that's going to make you physically active, better your health. But I mean, if you really don't enjoy running, that's not something you have to do. It's just, if you can find joy in it, it's really great.
I mean, I don't think you can even end the podcast better than that.
I won't even try.
Here's me curtsying.
I won't even try. Well, Dr. Killian Carlton, we can find you on the internet.
Yes.
On Instagram.
On the interweb.
Yes. Dr. Killian Carlton on Instagram?
I think it's Killian Carlton DPT.
Okay.
So that's my doctor of physical therapy. I went like less like douchey on that instead of Dr. Killian Carlton, you know?
Mm, yeah. We appreciate that.
Thank you. So yes.
I mean, you earned it, so why not?
I know. I have to remind myself of that. My grandpa is really the only person that calls me doc besides you. But I appreciate it. He was always like, oh, no, you're a doctor. So all of his friends think I have, like, a PhD or I'm, like, a legit doctor. I'm like, no, I'm a physical therapist. I just have a doctor in physical therapy. But, yes, Instagram. I have a website. And, yeah, those are my two spots that I'm on and hanging out here in Nashville trying to get people to run and lift and live a healthier life, you know?
Love it.
Well, thank you again so much for sharing your expertise, the conversation, the afternoon, the drinks. This has been the A to Z No BS Show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.